Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, entitled The Brahmana's Wives Blessed. And it's text number 41, which has no purport, so I will also read text number 42. Nunang Bhagavato Maya. Nunang Bhagavato Maya. Yoginam Api Mohini. Yoginam Api Mohini. Yad Vayang Gurava Rinang. Yadvayam guravo nrinam swarte muyamahe dvija swarte muyamahe dvija nunam bhagavato maya yoginam api mohini Yadvayam Gurava Ninang Swarte Muyahamahe Dweja Nunang Bhagavato Maya Yoginam Api Mohini Yadvayam Gurava Ninang Swarte Muya Mahe Dvijaha. Matajis? Nunam Bhagavato Maya Yoginam Yogi Mohini Gurava Nrinam Swarte Muya Mahe Dvijaha Nunam Bhagavato Maya Yoginam api mohini Yadvayam gurava nrinam Swarte muya mahe dvijaha Nunam bhagavato maya Yoginam api mohini Yadvayam gurava nrinam Swarte muya mahe nunam. Indeed, Bhagavata of the Supreme Lord, Maya, the illusory potency, Yoginam, for great mystics, Api, even, Mohini is bewildering, yet since Vayam we Gurava the spiritual masters Nrinam of society in general Swarte are about our real interest Muyamahe have become bewildered Dvijaha Brahmanas. Translation. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, certainly bewilders even the great mystics. What to speak of us? As brahmanas, we are supposed to be the spiritual masters of all classes of men. Yet we have been bewildered about our own real interest. Responsibly, please. The illusory potency of the Supreme Lord certainly bewilders even the great mystics. What to speak of us? As brahmanas, we are supposed to be the spiritual masters of all classes of men. Yet we have been bewildered about our own real interest. Text number 42. Aho pasyata narinam api krishne jagad guru taranta bhavam yo vidyan mrityu pashan krihad hiban. Translation. Just see the unlimited love these women have developed for Lord Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe. This love has broken for them their very bonds of death, their attachment to family life. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Superficially, the husbands, fathers, fathers-in-law, and so on were the ladies' gurus or teachers. Yet the women had become perfect in Krishna consciousness, whereas the men had fallen into the darkness of ignorance. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, upon returning home, the ladies showed transcendental ecstatic symptoms, such as trembling of the body, shedding of tears, standing of the bodily hairs on end, discoloration of the complexion, crying out, O pleasure of my life, O Krishna, with faltering words and so forth. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti goes on to state that while one may object that it is not fitting for a woman to love anyone other than her husband, here the husbands themselves point out that they are gurus only in imitation of the Supreme Lord, who is Jagad Guru, the universal teacher and spiritual master. The husbands noted that the women, having perfected their transcendental attachment for Krishna, did not have even a trace of attachment left for home, husband, children, and so forth. Therefore, from that day on, the husbands accepted those ladies as their worshipable spiritual masters and no longer a thought of them as their wives or property. Om Aganatramandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militan Nena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeyam Sri Guru Sitapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishtavangsta Sri Rupam Sagadattam Sahagana Raghunathang Vitang Tang Tajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Svarijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangstha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for allowing me to speak on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the followers of Srila Prabhupada who translated this later work, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a great honor to speak in front of so many exalted living entities. And just as the husbands of these great devotees, these ladies, were feeling very humbled by their wives' advancement in Krishna consciousness, I'm very humbled by all of your absorption and dedication to spiritual life under the guidance of your very qualified and exalted spiritual masters. So, there's the one sloka in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter. Kamasya nidriya pritir labo jiveti yavata jivasya tattva jigasya narto yaske teha karmabhi. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So this desire to have a healthy body is there also in spiritual life, as stated in this sloka in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the motive for having a healthy body is different than the materialist motive for having a healthy body. The motive for the spiritualist is he wants to utilize this material body for the purpose of jivasya tattva jigyasa, for the purpose of inquiring into the absolute truth. And so it is like a vehicle for this inquiry. And if the vehicle is healthy, then we can make this inquiry into the nature of the absolute truth with more vigor and more enthusiasm. But ultimately, the realization of the absolute truth is in the hands of the Lord Himself. There's the one sloka in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Ataksi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavit Graimendriyai Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayam Eva Sparachida. That Krishna, the nature of the holy name, Krishna's pastimes, his message, it can only be revealed by one who attains the mercy of Krishna. And that mercy of Krishna, sevan mukhi jivado, can be obtained by one who utilizes his senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it specifically is mentioned that in the Sanskrit, the word jeev, or it's Bengali actually, which means the tongue. This is the sense that we can utilize with the most potency and with the greatest effect, both by eating Krishna prasadam, honoring Krishna prasad, and by chanting the holy name. This has the greatest effect, and when one does this, one attracts the mercy of Krishna, and Krishna within the heart reveals himself to such a devotee. So there's this very famous sloka which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. So this is mentioned in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it said, in this age of Kali, there is no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. And immediately after this shloka, there's the other shloka. Kali Kali Nama Rupi Krishna Avatar, Nama Haitihaya Sarva Jagat Nishtar. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. So just as the brahmanas, they did not recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was personally present in their own neighborhood. Similarly, if we have some material contamination left within our hearts, we also don't recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is personally present in our neighborhood. That means by the sound vibration that we are all producing every day by chanting Krishna's names, and he is dancing on the tip of our tongue. And we are not recognizing that Krishna is there in the sound vibration of his holy name, dancing on our tongue. So our situation is similar to that of the brahmanas. So the brahmanas, they really had to eat humble pie. I mean, for a brahmana to admit that his wife is more exalted than himself is quite a stretch, actually coming way out of their comfort zone to go and to publicly admit that actually, you know, we are very fallen. We have been, these are Karmikandi Brahmins. They're after this elevation to the heavenly planets. And so they are very expert in chanting mantras and performing sacrifices in the worship of the demigods for the purpose of material elevation. Whereas their wives, they're simple ladies, and they had developed affection and attraction for Lord Krishna because they had heard about his pastimes from flower sellers and tabbouleh sellers that were coming into their neighborhoods from Vrindavan. And they had all these ladies had experienced the Krishna's association and had received his mercy, and so therefore had developed a taste for hearing and chanting his pastimes. So this taste, this attraction, rubbed off on these wives of the brahmanas. And when the cowherd boys came and begged for some food from these ladies on behalf of Krishna and Balaram, they were anxious and willing and ready and full of enthusiasm to provide this service to Krishna and Balaram and his associates. Whereas the brahmanas, they had no interest. They were absorbed in their own selfish pursuits. So this selflessness is a symptom of a self-realized person. They're interested in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and service to the devotees. They're not interested in serving their own senses. Shushushu Sadadanasya, Vasudeva Kataruchi, San Mahatsavya Vipra, Punya Tirta Nisevanat. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So this message of Vasudev, when one gains a taste for it, then one loses all affinity for trying to enjoy life in relationship to these senses in this body. And as stated in this pastime of the Brahmana wise blessed, you also you lose affection for the bodies of the family members. A man will no longer, who's spiritually advanced, will no longer look at his wife as an object for his pleasure. Or that means, or the bodies of other women, which is the women who are spiritually advanced will no longer see the opposite sex as something that to hanker after, because they'll give them like some opulence, a nice home to live in, nice children, and so on and so forth. But instead, they'll be hankering for the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world, where there is a relationships with not only the Supreme Lord, but other devotees that don't turn stale. The relationships in the material world, they are sure and certain to become stale. Just like food that is old, especially bread, because dry bread, it becomes very stale and very tasteless. So similarly, the relationships, material relationships, they become old and hackneyed. And the bodies become old, that the attraction becomes stale between the man and the wife in the material world. And so therefore, the man in the material world, he will leave his wife and seek the association of a younger woman. This is a common phenomena, especially as the age of Kali progresses. And what happens is there is the structure of society, their morals become loose, and it is no longer considered bad for a man to go after a younger woman. It is normal, and it is accepted. And so then men can engage in this activity without feeling any shame. So this is the situation in the age of Kali. Prayanalpayasasa byakalabhas menyugejina mandasa manda matayo manda bhagya hupadrutaha. That in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives, they're a quarrelsome lady, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. They're not happy. Because they are seeking for happiness in a wrong way. So this section of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the holy name, these slokas about the holy name are mentioned, gives us great insight in how we can actually come to some realization that Krishna is present in his holy name. Just like these brahmanas, they came to some realization that actually Krishna is God, and that their wives are they became their spiritual masters and accepted them as such and publicly declared them as such. So similarly, if we want realization of Krishna's name as being present in the sound vibration and that is dancing on our tongues, then there is a certain mood that one has to practice while chanting the holy name. And of course it's Trinyada Pisanitina, Turoda Pisahisana, Amanina Manadina, Kirtanya Sadahari. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is kind of elaborated on. and kind of like, so I thought I should read this elaboration. To chant the holy name, all of us want to be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor. But one should offer others all respectful obeisances. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. This is no small order. If someone comes up to you and chastises you or criticizes you unjustly, the natural tendency is to retaliate and maybe find some fault in that other person and to try to defeat them in some way or other and try to convince them that actually I am right and you are wrong. There's nothing wrong with me, but everything is wrong with you. And the other person will be, there will be a back and forth scuttle going on over who is properly situated and who isn't. But this is not the mood of a devotee. The devotee, they will just say, okay, you're right. I'm very fallen and you are very exalted. And this was exhibited by Srivas Thakur when they were having these nocturnal kirtans in his house. Some of the neighbors were very, very envious. There were these, same like these brahmanas here in Krishna's pastimes. There was brahmanas in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that actually the majority of them were solely interested in elevation to heavenly planets and were worshipping demigods. So one of these brahmanas who became envious of Srivas Thakur, he placed some worship articles of worship on his doorstep in the middle of the night for worship of Chandi, worship of Kali. And because he wanted to expose Srivas Thakur as being a worshiper of Kali and not a worshiper of Krishna, and who he had been shown to be by his activities previously. So when Srivas Thakur got up in the morning and he went outside and he saw this paraphernalia, he said, oh, everybody come here, everyone look. I'm actually pretending to be a worshiper of Krishna, but actually look what's on my door. I've been secretly worshiping Kali. It's because I'm actually, have internal desires to enjoy in this material world. There's a sloka in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, that describes that if one is pretending to be a devotee of Krishna, but inwardly is harboring desires for sense gratification, he is known as a pretender. And it is a very deplorable position for one who is proclaiming to be a spiritualist, but his real motive is to enjoy in this material world. So Srivas Thakur, even though he had not been worshipping Kali, because this paraphernalia was on his doorstep, he said, yes, this is true. I am a pretender. I am low. I am not actually, engaging in pure devotional service. So then this personality, Gopal Champa, who had placed this paraphernalia on his doorstep, very soon contracted leprosy. And leprosy is a very contagious disease. And so when someone contacts leprosy, they are cast outside by all their relatives, the village, There's specific places, actually. There's colonies. There was actually a colony for leprosy in the island of Kauai, which is one of the Hawaiian islands, where they used to put this, the people that contacted leprosy, because Hawaii is also a tropical place, and so they would get the same diseases there as they do in India. And so similarly, this Gopal Champa, he was cast out, and he was living somewhere on the bank of the Ganges, and one day Lord Chaitanya was walking by, and Gopal Champa, he said, "Oh, Lord Chaitanya, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm so fallen. Look at me, at my situation. Please help me." And Lord Chaitanya, "I will not give you any help, for you will have to suffer like this for millions of births, for you have offended the great Vaishnava, my devotee, Srivas Thakur. The only way you are going to be able to become relieved from your disease, your pitiful condition, is if you go beg for forgiveness from Srivas Thakur." So then he did that, and his disease was mitigated, and he became a great devotee. So these brahmanas, they had told their wives, "Don't go to, you know, give this food to Krishna and Balaram," but they went anyway, and then they came back, and they were exhibiting ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead. And Krishna, within the hearts of these brahmanas, gave them the vision that actually their wives are exalted devotees. And they had a change of consciousness. And instead of chastising their wives for disobeying their instruction, they worshiped them and honored them. And because this was just like the gopis running away from their husbands, they're worshipable for that. Because they're running away from their husbands because they're going to their to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're doing something which is totally forbidden and which they could have been, you know, like ostracized and cast out and would have no shelter because their parents wouldn't have given them shelter. Society wouldn't have given them shelter, for they had, gone off in the middle of the night to be with another man. So there's a totally condemnable activity. But because it was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are worshipable for that. So similarly, many of us have similarly turned our backs on our parents and our relatives, our brothers and our sisters. Some of us have turned our backs on our husbands or wives and to run after this blue boy who plays a flute and engage in his service. And we are not condemned for that. It is actually a very exalted position. My father, it was very difficult for me when I became a devotee to explain to my parents what I'm doing. Coming from a very atheistic family, no belief in God whatsoever, actually, proclaimed atheists, and to tell them that yes, now I have decided that I'm going to worship God as my goal in life. I've joined the Hare Krishna movement. My father told my brother that I needed a lobotomy. I needed brain surgery. That something's wrong with my brain, and that something has to be removed, so that I can see things in proper perspective now. And Srila Prabhupada stated that this in this Hare Krishna movement, that first of all, people will laugh at us. And then after that, people will persecute us. And after that, people will adore us. So now, We're in more like the adoring stage. People are respecting us, especially here in India. Very nice living entities from very respectable families are taking up this process of devotional service. And government leaders are seeing this and accepting the fact that this Hare Krishna movement is authorized. And the devotees are exhibiting very nice character, showing such expertise and propagating Krishna consciousness and giving it to others in very gentlemanly and very potent ways. So now the situation has changed. And like for me, I graduated from high school about 40 years ago. And this year when I went to visit my mother, I for the first time went and visited my best friend. I'm not like Radhanath Swami. My best friends were not like this Gary. Gary came here and he showed so much appreciation and so much for his old friend Radhanath Swami and all of you. My friends are not like that. I actually had very bad friends. I was, I'm very small in build, and my friends would bully me. These are my friends. They're not really friends. They would abuse me, and I couldn't fight back because I couldn't physically deal with them. They would have beat me up. This is America. If might is right. If in America, you know, if you are a big, strong football player, you are worshipable and you are adored. And even though they show the worst character, they show much arrogance, thinking that they are so great because they can catch a ball and run over a line with it and score some points. They get the biggest salaries. They get the most worship and the most adoration from the public, more than any spiritual personality by far, these sports stars. So in America, if you are strong and you are able to overpower, then you are great. So I did not fit into this category. So I was more or less cast out. And so when I graduated from high school, I said, I cannot be part of this society. I don't fit in here. I'm not big and strong. I cannot catch a ball and cross over a line with it when other people are trying to stop me from doing this. I think I have to seek out a different lifestyle with some different friends and some different people. So that's what I did. I first of all became a hippie and lived in a hippie commune. And then after that, I came in touch with some devotees and I started practicing devotional service. And time passed. A lot of time passed. 40 years have passed almost. And so now I feel confident. I can go and meet my friends. And what are they doing now? My best friend, he cannot even tie his own shoelaces because he has abused his body so badly with the practices of intoxication and meat eating and just a very low lifestyle. And another friend, he cannot, his intestines got so diseased that they had to remove his intestines, and now he has to pass stool into a bag. And another friend, he's no longer alive anymore because he took so much intoxication and that he died before he was even 50 years old. And another friend, he went to college and he became a lawyer. And When he was becoming a lawyer to put himself through school, he worked in a bar as a bartender, and he became addicted to alcohol. But he continued in his pursuit of his education, and he became a lawyer, but maintained his alcohol addiction, and eventually he got arrested for driving a car under the influence of alcohol, and he went to jail for a certain amount of time. And during this period of time, his wife divorced him. And when he came out of jail, he was no longer respected as a lawyer anymore after breaking the law himself, and being exposed as a drunkard. He committed suicide. So this is the situation of materialists. If one pursues materialistic life, one is sure to be defeated. And one gets defeated in very ugly ways. And one becomes, there's no happiness. This is in the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that as this happiness in the mode of passion, where in the beginning one thinks that he is doing very well, but at the end it is he has been exposed as doing very badly. So when I went to visit my friend, I was, full of, it's not that this body isn't deteriorating and isn't aging, it is. I'm not full of vigor and vitality like I used to be when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s. But compared to my friend, I was doing very well. And he commented to me that, wow, you did something right. And he actually apologized to me, saying that we were all actually, I don't want to use the word he used, a derogatory word, saying that we were very bad people and we didn't treat you very nicely. So he was very nice to me, and it touched my heart. And so now I'm in touch with him through the email, and it's like sambandha. I've now in touch with my old classmate, and gradually I can hopefully influence him in spiritual life. I may be able to, I may not, I don't know. But now I'm in a situation where I'm the strong one, and where previously I was the weak one. And now I can say, what have you done? Look at you. You have wasted your life. And look at your situation. But instead of beating them up with words, try to help them and encourage them in spiritual life. And now they're in such a situation where they can, like Gopal Champa, they're helpless. And they're not that old. In America, when you go through this high school, if you do not engage in illicit sex and intoxication, you are outcast. What's wrong with you? This is the life. This is fun. So now they engage in these activities throughout their life, after high school, and continued in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s. These same foolish activities of, illicit sex and intoxication. And so then they become old very quickly before their time, so to speak. And so now they're in a situation where they can maybe a little, they're humbled. Just like the brahmanas were humbled. And they became in such a situation where they're taking their wives as their spiritual master, where the culture of India is such that the wives take the husbands as a spiritual master. The tables are turned. So this is the reality of this world. That if one takes spiritual life very sincerely and very seriously, no matter how he was looked upon previously, he will be looked on as the great person who accomplished something in his life in the end. So, generally speaking, in this pastime, the wives of the brahmanas are looked upon as being the great souls. But we also have to look on the brahmanas as being the great souls in this pastime. For they are admitting their misdirected lifestyle and their goal of life as being misdirected and have changed their perspective in life. And they can be compared to Maharaj Parikshit, who after he placed the garland of the snake on the sage, he felt so bad about that and accepted the curse of the Brahmana boy on his head, thinking he deserved it. And it's described in the purport by Srila Prabhupada that the sinful reaction of him garlanding the sage with the snake was burned up in the fire of repentance. So similarly, these brahmanas, their whole life of worshipping the demigods and desiring to enjoy in this material world, had the reaction to this activity and this pursuit was burned up by their fire of repentance and taking a humble position and accepting their wives as their spiritual masters. So this is a personified practice of Trinada Pisaniti na Torota Pisahisana Amani Namandande na Kirtanyak Sadahari. So now these brahmanas became qualified to get realization of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord gave this realization from within their hearts, and they became great devotees. And any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.